right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We head towards Sunday, and Super Bowl Sunday, of course. We'll have it for you here starting at 2 o'clock on WGCL. So plenty of pregame to get you ready for the big game, and then kick off around 6:30 or so between the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers. The Hoosier football team of Coach Kevin Wilson, fresh off his extension, giving him 6 years from now with the Hoosiers. They signed 21 players on National Signing Day today. As always, the happiest day in the world for college football programs as they announce their signees and their new class of folks coming in, both now and a couple players now and later in the fall. In August, they will come in. But before we get there, last night, a big game for Tom Crean's basketball Hoosiers as they start off the second half of their Big Ten season. Of the 9 games, 6 of the teams will be among the top half of the Big Ten. So bigger tests certainly coming in the second half of the season. And the Hoosiers started off their first test by getting down 15-4 and prompting a timeout out of the blue out of Coach Tom Crean after the first TV timeout. He does not like to use those if he doesn't have to, and he was prompted to do so after some defensive lapses and not being able to hit a shot. But Glass, from that point forward, they outscored Michigan 41-9 in the rest of the first half. They reeled off 28 straight points, including the first minute and a half of the second half, and put an utter beatdown down on the Wolverines up in Chrysler Arena in Ann Arbor. And, we hoped we'd get out of there with a win with some good play. I don't know that anybody thought you'd walk out of there with beating the heck out of them on their own floor.
No, not at all. And they said the game's 40 minutes long and you have to play all 40 of them. Well, no, you don't. There was obvious proof of that.
Not if you get up 28.
Well, if you play the middle 20 like they did, or the middle 15 like they did, my goodness, what an avalanche of greatness. And you've seen hints of this before, 48-18 in the first half against Ohio State, whatever that run against Illinois was when they scored 61 second-half points. They have given you clues that this can happen. Is it going to happen every night? No, it's not. But when it does happen, it is gorgeous, and it is impossible to stop. Michigan looked like a team that had never played in a game where they had trailed before.
They got shell-shocked.
Mike Tirico hit it right on the head. They're trying to hit 8-point shots, and there aren't any of those available. They came down and fired and fired and fired, and I know the defense is going to get a lot of credit for this, and they should to a degree. But the one thing that I continuously harp on about this team that I think just keeps rearing its head, when Indiana makes 10 to 12 shots in a row, folks, it doesn't matter if they're giving up a layup or two. They score, and guess what Michigan did? They chased. They got it out of everything they did in those opening minutes where they got good looks, where they got things going to the basket, where they got good shots, and they panicked. Why? Because Indiana scored and scored and scored some more. And guess who scored?
Everybody, that's exactly
that's
right.
That's the thing. We talked about that on Monday. You can't have road games where it's Yogi and another guy and a half. You have to have contributions across it. Why? You saw it last night. Michigan didn't know who to cover in transition. Why? Well, because everybody was hitting. They were all hitting. That's exactly right. And the Hoosiers gave Michigan an 11-point lead because they had some open shots. It didn't go in. They took some quick shots. They didn't make some very good decisions. Things on the road that you'd like to see cleaned up because some better teams that don't have players. I wouldn't say Michigan has bad players, but some systems that work a little bit better on possessions and working the shot clock aren't going to let Indiana off the hook.
They're not shy to shoot, just like we are.
They're not, and Michigan had no answer for it. And I think the other thing that really stuck out off the page last night was when Indiana's offense wasn't going, it was 15-4, and they weren't playing well on the defensive end of things. And that's not something that is only to Indiana, because you saw Michigan do the same thing. And it's funny how that works, because that's what good teams do. Good teams play okay. Great teams find a way, when it's not working, to make it all work offensively and defensively. How many second shots did Michigan get in that run? One?
Not
I mean,
many.
There weren't many.
The rebounding was
every
fantastic.
Shot was up and boom, that's it was exactly down the court. Right. Why? Because they rebounded. What's that? Effort. That's the things you want to see.
Now, 44-30 edge in rebounding. It was more dramatic earlier in the game.
Exactly.
Than that.
There was Michigan was one pass and a shot, no pass and a shot, and Indiana was down the court. Why? They rebounded. They had effort. They got after it. They were smart. And those are the things, Dave, that you can do when you're down 15-4. Those are things you'd like to see when the game starts. That's just the next step for this team taking to get to that point where they want to be a champion. championship contending team, they're not going to be able to go on the road and spot a lot of teams 11-point leads in the first half. And that's not going to happen. That has to get better, but there is no doubting the effort they put in, chasing down the lead, getting it to 24 apiece, and then boom, to 21-0 run to end the half, which made it a 25. It was 24-20, and the next thing you know, it's 45-24, and Michigan couldn't hit layups. Michigan couldn't hit threes because they were getting contested. Michigan got no easy baskets, offensive rebounds, or transition. You can't ask for anything better than that, and the Hoosiers deserve full marks and full credit for it. As head-scratching as their last 12 minutes was against Minnesota at home, this was head-scratching in a good way because you can see the arsenal when it happens, and when it happens on the road, that is one step higher than really good, because on your home floor, you can understand that. Joe and I were talking this morning. There was a game Todd Jadlow had 30-something against Iowa. Sure. They won 114-82. They just, just at home.
Right.
But this was on the road.
Because you get hot at home.
And
this,
you get hot, and everybody starts making. But when you do that on the road, that's absolutely fantastic. And that's what you saw last night. You've seen it now. A pinch of it against Ohio State. A pinch of it with 61 points against Illinois. Against Northwestern, same thing. You've seen these bright spots. And there's definitely something there that Indiana deserves full credit for. And they deserve every pat on the back they get tonight and up till Saturday.
We'll stay on the offensive end for now. The Hoosiers in that first half, they did hit 6 3-pointers, certainly a couple very well timed, but they finished the first half 13 of 16 from inside the arc. They were getting
the
to the basket.
Has to go through the.
They were getting to the basket. They were getting easy shots. They were getting layups. They were getting slam dunks. The play where Yogi drew three guys and Troy just kind of leaked out behind him and got a slam dunk alley-oop. I mean, look, Michigan is not going to remind anyone of a phenomenal defensive team anytime soon.
They didn't
But the Hoosiers took full advantage of that and continued to move the ball. And
that's
Tom Crean said, we were getting open shots at the beginning. They just weren't falling. Well, they started falling and they started attacking.
Well,
both the offensive boards when they were trying to get layups, but also the defensive glass, and those are both key.
Staying on the offensive side of things, as we talked on Monday, if you go on the road and you fall in love with the jump shot, bad things can happen.
Yeah.
They tried it. They went 1 for 6 to start the game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those were deeper shots, maybe not the best shots of the rotation if you were scrambling to get the game on ESPN or watch ESPN.
Yeah, first
back
play
and
was
forth.
A layup by Bryant, and after that it was
all
jump threes,
shots.
Yeah.
And when those don't go in, Indiana's really easy to guard. And when those shots weren't going in, you think, all right, Michigan's going to press up just like Minnesota did and make them beat them off the dribble.
Right.
And when Indiana started moving the basketball, one more pass, not dribble, 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 one more pass, and people were moving, and Michigan, again, they don't want to guard you for 30 seconds. The extra pass, getting into the paint, all those things came right to fruition. And again, when it happens, I don't know who's going to stop it when it's on song, especially on your home court. I mean, Michigan's, that's on their home floor there.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop it. But you saw extra passes led to what? Layups and dunks and open three-pointers, not catch and shoot threes. It was a ballet. It was a masterful performance. And the Hoosiers did what they needed to do. Moved the ball, got easy shots, high percentage shots, and that's how you make 13 to 16 of them in the paint.
And a lot of contributions from a lot of players.
All across the board.
No question about it. OG Anunoby continues his good play. Zeislav played 26 minutes. Bielefeld, very important on his return. And there was some defense in there by the Hoosiers, no doubt about it. No points for the last 9 minutes of the first half by Michigan. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Quick programming note, it's a little different this week with the girls' basketball teams, high school basketball teams, having their sectionals this week. The boys move to Thursday, tomorrow night, and we will have it for you here on WGCL as North goes to Edgewood. Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock and tip-off at 7:30 for a county matchup there.
And don't forget, South is playing tonight. They host Owen Valley down on the south side if they want to catch some hoops. You've got the Jones after Indiana's beat down. You probably see a little action down on the south side as the ranked Panthers are in action. So, boys, tonight we have the game tomorrow night, and then obviously Super Bowl Sunday coming up, kickoff at 6:30 for Super Bowl 50. How about that?
333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers with their first big test of the second half of the Big Ten season on the road at Michigan, a 7-2 Michigan team going into the game, and Michigan jumped out to a 15-4 lead in the game. But at the end of the day, Indiana wins 80-67, and it wasn't anywhere near that close through most of the game, as the Hoosiers just put their foot down to close out the second half. Again, after that timeout at 15-4 with 14.5 minutes left to go, Hoosiers outscored Michigan 41-9, and Michigan did not score the last 9 minutes. So let's talk a little bit about the defense, because yes, I think their mentality, we've just established Indiana's mentality very much is ebbs and flows based on how they're shooting the ball and how they're scoring the ball.
No question.
But they did play some defense. They particularly Troy Williams got in some foul trouble, came out. Well, that inserts OG Anunoby into the game. And we've seen what he's done defensively. And I don't want to be one of these people who overly gushes about this guy. Dan did a little bit too much of it last night.
That's his guy. Did you know that?
I understand that. Wow. And he wants to adopt the kid all of a sudden, which is great. He's allowed kid's in a role right now, and the kid is playing that role as well as you could possibly hope for out of a freshman. Yeah. And that role is to do a lot of the dirty work. And on top of that, the kid's not a bad shooter either.
He's not. And he's, again, the game at Wisconsin didn't have one of his better ones at that. But that's what comes with freshmen. You've got to take the ups with the downs, and it's easier when everybody else is firing on all cylinders to be a part of that. What OG Anunoby does, Dave, is he plays within himself. He doesn't take bad shots. He doesn't do things that hurt the team. He has found out the way to get 20 minutes a game is to go in, play defense, rebound, get in the way, and don't turn the ball over. Right. It's not a hard thing.
Hit an open shot or two.
Especially when he and Troy kind of play the same position. You have one guy that is gung-ho offensively, likes to get out in transition, likes to do this and that, and OG is the complete opposite. So to have both of those players, Tom Crean, and he's forgotten, well, he hasn't forgotten about it. I haven't heard him mention this forever, but the main focus of October here was getting too deep at each position. That's the key to a good team, having two guys at each position. He's playing. He played nine guys against Minnesota. They're all in double-figure minutes. He's close to that. But I haven't heard him mention that, which is interesting because Anunoby gives him a different dynamic. Dan was right in the fact that he can guard any position. That's true. Yeah. His wingspan is humongous. He gets a little maneuvered in the post, as you saw with Wisconsin.
But he doesn't overcommit. He doesn't. He has fouled, but he doesn't. You know, he's on a foul magnet.
Exactly right. He has found a way to get minutes because he is productive. He blocks shots. He does the little things that we thought maybe we'd see more of Max Bielfeld do, but he's not as athletic as Anunoby, and that's why Anunoby is getting quality minutes. And the other reason you get quality minutes, Dave, is because you do those things. It's not based on your reputation. It's because you do it on the
it's
court,
merit-based.
And it happens. And the only reason Anunoby came out of the game at all last night, needed a blow. He couldn't breathe. Coach, get me out. Yeah, so go in, line change. Throw another few guys in there. And when you're playing eight or nine guys, which a lot of teams don't do, that's another layer where Indiana can hurt you. But it all goes back to offense for me. Anunoby helps, and he helps on offense in this part. He can knock down an open jump shot. And what does Indiana love to do? Offensive rebound. And when you have a 7-8 reach and you can jump and not foul and tip the ball out and keep the ball alive.
Yeah, he's got springs.
That's another element that maybe you don't see from other players, Zeisloff, Bielfeld, et cetera, because they're just not as athletic as Anunoby. And that's the thing. So you got to ride the good, you got to ride the bad. But what Anunoby brings you on the defensive end is length. You can't shoot spot up threes over him comfortably.
Right.
You drive on him, you better. He's
doing a great job with footwork, with positioning. His hands are out of there. You know, he's not taking stupid fouls.
And hopefully he keeps improving on that arc and keeps sharpening that offensive game. But yeah, that's a great part of it. Jawan Morgan played great last night. Why? Came and didn't foul guys.
That's right.
Same thing. He got in the way. Guys are going to the basket. He's in there. He's causing problems. He's causing people to think. Anunoby causes people to think. They're the best shot blockers on the team. It's not Thomas Bryant.
No.
When people drive on these guys, there's a hesitation because of their length.
Right.
And that's another layer that this team doesn't have when they go with Hartman, Bryant, Bielfeld. So it's a different identity, a different style that I don't think you can play all game because of the offensive side of things. But remember, this run last night, and I don't have it in front of me, but I remember I said, oh my gosh, this is the lineup that's going to bring us back. And it went layup, layup, 3-3, and that was 10-0, and I just started laughing. It was Bielfeld. It was Anunoby. It was at the
as far as our 12, run?
Yes,
from the start?
At the 12-minute mark or whatever it was. The guys we had on the floor.
Layup, Zeisloff 3, Bielfeld 3.
It was Bielfeld, Zeisloff.
Dunk by Anunoby.
Anunoby, Farrell, and
let's go back to the
maybe
beginning.
Hartman.
Yogi on a pair of layups.
Right.
Zeisloff, Bielfeld, Anunoby on a dunk.
So that's five, isn't it?
Zeisloff. Morgan,
there you go. So
again, Bryant finally gets back in. Colin Hartman.
When that run started, right, when that run started, it was Bielfeldt, Zeisloft, Yogi, Ananobi, and Morgan. I think that was the lineup.
They made a change at the 14.5-minute mark.
Right.
And he actually called the timeout because Yogi was out of position on defense.
He was. You know why he was out of position?
Well, he was covering for somebody in the lane, right, or trying to.
There was
don't
no
know
help,
if he needed to,
he
but he lost Irvin out on the outside. 333-2665 is our phone number.
So
but your point there is there was a change. There was a change in the lineup. It was the energy lineup that came in. It was Zeisloft. It was Bielfeldt. It was Ananobi. Yes. And that's a lineup that's given them some really good energy.
And the other part of that lineup is only one and a half guys. Two guys are going to shoot threes. That's it. Zeisloft and Yogi. So the ball has to move. There has to be other things there.
Yeah, Ananobi and Bielfeldt can.
That's not a jump shooting lineup. That
right,
was something where Indiana wanted to do it to create some space to get Yogi some driving lanes. And the great thing about the comeback, it started with what? Layup.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't start with let's hit knockdown.
They got aggressive. Exactly right.
So all of a sudden, guys are going to the basket. Now you have to worry about
And that's where Dokić had the great point. And let's talk about Yogi here for a while. Because
Yogi's fantastic.
He didn't have a great game over the weekend, but he made some plays down the stretch. But the point here is you're starting to see the senior leadership out of the point guard that I think everybody hoped you'd see eventually out of Yogi. It's taken a while to kind of all come together. But the guy, he gets yelled at for about 3 seconds on the timeout, and then he comes out immediately, layup assist or something to that
I
effect,
love what
and just
Crane
makes
said
all
to him.
The
he
plays.
He said, be the point guard. Don't do everybody else's job. I'll get other guys in there to do their job. You have to do your role. And you've seen when Indiana struggled on the road, and even at home at some points, some of these newer players will fall asleep and not switch properly and not sure what they're in. And guys can't have layups all day, so Yogi's trying to be.
Yeah, he can't be a senior for them.
He can't be a senior for them, and he can't play four positions either. He has to do his job, and that was the reminder of it. And again, go to the basket, get smart layups, not pull up threes, not come off a curl hand in the face threes. It was layup, settle everything down, and all of a sudden Michigan had some problems. But Farrell's been excellent. Farrell has not been the issue, but the defensive part, and that's what we're talking about a little bit. The defensive part was you saw why Indiana struggled there in the early going. They were hot on the perimeter, trying to get in passing lanes, trying to jump things, playing the wrong side of the ball, not helping. Those are things, Dave, that we've seen continue. We saw it against Minnesota. They had problems stopping the ball going to the basket. So those are things they still have to work on. But when you throw in the players they have and when they play at that stage, and the second they started hitting shots, the energy level went up. And that great teams bring it together. Teams on a string have to work through it. And you heard the Michigan guys after the game saying, we got a little down because our offense didn't click and our defense started suffering.
Mm-hmm. We've heard that before.
You can play hard. You can be in position whether you're making shots or not. And the teams that get through those cold spells are the better teams. The better teams don't usually shoot themselves out of it. It's both ends that get them out. And when another team doesn't score, because Indiana got every rebound, there was no second chance points, because three-pointers were contested, guys weren't blowing by them, everybody was breaking down and playing well, then their offense just pulled the card up and put the pressure right back on Michigan to score, and they had a hard time doing it. It was fantastic to watch.
This team has and can play with some confidence, but certainly this game will give them a bunch of confidence. They've got road games, a couple tough ones here. Penn State Saturday is not one to look past. Michigan State
past
next weekend, and then Illinois and Iowa. These are all difficult
Minnesota
road games in the Big Ten.
Showed you every reason why you can't look past
anything.
Hey, you lost to Wisconsin.
Rutgers.
You came home. You're going to pound Minnesota because you lost a tight one at Wisconsin. No, you almost gave the game away in the last before the last 2.5 minutes of that game. No, every team gets coached. Every team scouts. Every team plays hard. And that's why when Indiana has multiple players doing their job, it looks effortless. It looks like, and that's why fans say, well, why don't you do that every night? Well, sometimes the other team makes their shot. Sometimes the other team is smart.
Makes it hard on you.
Well, and doesn't take one pass 24-footers and goes in and gets fouled and gets back from the free throw line. Michigan didn't. The reason why, Indiana forced them into that and forced them out of what made them comfortable. They did it for two reasons. Number one, they score and score and score. And number two, they stopped getting beat. They got into position, and they made a conscious effort, starting with Yogi, starting with whoever it was, to settle down and keep a guy in front of you and get a hand in his face. How many block shots did you see in there? Two?
Not many.
No, because you know why? They made
five total.
They made it difficult. They just got in the way, and if you're going to finish over them, good for you. That's a great basketball play, but you know what? They didn't foul them and get them to the line. Right. Michigan was right. more than happy to go away from the contact.
Very, I mean, this is why the game went so
11
fast.
To 8.
Is there were very few
11 to 8 in free throws.
We had 8, they had 11. Yeah, exactly. So it was not a parade like it was in the Wisconsin game.
It wasn't. And Michigan missed 4 to start the second half, so knocked those 4 off the 11.
Yeah.
And you had 7 the other 38 minutes. So Indiana did a great job of not being silly. And here's a point I just popped into my head. The asterisk in here, which is interesting, is at the 16-minute mark of the second half, Troy Williams, Colin Hartman, Thomas Bryan all had 3 fouls on the road, and you won by 25 points.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've said this. I've said this repeatedly. Troy Williams, if he's a good Troy and he's really productive and he comes out of the locker room that way to start a game, is the biggest kind of differentiator between this Hoosier team and most of the rest of the Big Ten. And yet you haven't had him. You haven't had him most of the Big Ten.
And
you're 9-1.
James Blackman Jr.
And you haven't had James Blackman Jr. And Bryant's been great when he's had his roles, and yet on the defensive end he's struggled, and sometimes he's been in some foul trouble. And Robert Johnson's been all over the place and throwing the ball away and things like that. And Colin Hartman goes through
Johnson
some things where he plays 12
time.
Minutes because of
yeah,
fouls.
But
Zeisloft hasn't been able to make game shots for several games in a row. It's not. That's the funny thing, is it's not played great for 10 games, and it's 9-1.
But here's the point. When you have three fouls, four fouls with 16 minutes to go, and you have a 25-point lead.
What's the matter, right?
Who cares?
Well, that's why you get up like
that. But the point is, they need to be smarter because they're still trying to make – they're still fouling in situations that you might not need it. Mm-hmm. Every foul Hartman's going to make doesn't have to be a block charge. Just get your hands up. Get in the way. You saw in that run, even with Ananobi and Morgan, just get in the way.
Right.
You don't have to be underneath him. You don't have to slide into the last second.
Just impede.
Because Hartman's 6'7". He's not tiny.
Right.
He's a big guy.
Right.
And, again, Bryant, just stop running over, guys. Just
right, exactly.
That's a good thing to have when you have three of your starters with three
Absolutely.
Or four fouls and you're up 25 points. How about that? And that's what last night was. Everything that went well went great after the, 4 or 5 minute mark, whatever that
four
last
and a half,
time
14 and a half left.
And the Hoosiers put the pedal to the metal, and away they went. Great offense, really good defense, and that's why they're on top of the league here on a Wednesday.
Big win makes them 9-1 in the Big Ten, and half a game ahead of Iowa at 8-1. Game ahead of Maryland, 2 games ahead of Purdue now, and Michigan, and 3 games ahead of Michigan State and Ohio State. Still 8 to play for the Hoosiers, and that starts Saturday night at Penn State, 8 o'clock. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes for you. Got high school basketball tomorrow night as North goes out to Ellettsville to face the Edgewood Mustangs. Chalk Talk 7 o'clock and tip-off at 7:30. That is tomorrow night, not Friday. And then on Sunday, we have Super Bowl coverage starting here on WGCL at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock,
so
wow.
4.5 hours.
I lost that bet.
Pre-game, exactly. A whole bunch of it. Kickoff is right about 6:30 or so. Before we get to the Super Bowl, want to note here that the Hoosiers football team did sign 21 players today to their national signing class. A couple of them pretty important. One in particular that I think everybody is staring at is this quarterback, Richard Legault, who was a...
he's already been here.
He has been here, but he was at Oklahoma State for a little while, went to Plano or Cisco, Texas, is a community college and played a year there. So he's coming in to potentially and possibly and probably take over the quarterback position from Nate Sudfeld, who graduates. But what will be interesting is your new defensive coordinator and the fact that they are graduating or losing a lot of players from that defensive line. How do they cope with that will be the question. There's not a lot of defensive linemen in this group. So Coach Wilson mentioned specifically he's expecting a lot of the defensive guys already on campus to make a big difference starting next year. And
yeah.
The defensive coordinator, you better hope so.
Sure, and he's got a good core of linebackers coming back. You notice there's not one linebacker in the class. They took 2 defensive linemen. They're hoping, obviously, that they... Again, everybody on National Signing Day is great and is going to make a big impact. As athletic comes from
huge,
a good family.
Just
and,
huge.
Right, and it's what today is. So congratulations to IU football for getting that all settled out. One of their last guys, maybe a little bit of a surprise, Taysir Mack, 6'2", 190, flipped from Rutgers to IU at the very last minute. A big 6'2", 190 wide receiver. So there was some buzz about that today. Again, guys reaching out saying, hey, saw your offense. Saw you throw it around a little bit.
Want to check me out?
Well, you got a big JUCO quarterback coming in. You got a couple guys that have been there that have known the offense that can get it around the park as well. And it'll be interesting to see these kids grow up and develop. The one analogy I heard, Dave, was that this reminded them of the 2012 class, which turned out to be guys like Freeney and Spriggs and others of the such. And there's no point in drawing a straight line comparison in there, but if they're talking about level of athlete and things of the such, well, that's better than saying they needed six more linemen, four more of this, 10 more of that, 21 players. Good stuff. And again, these guys will 2016. I don't know how many of them can show up now. Semester's already going.
There's two JUCOs.
The JUCO, Jamie Thompson's here, and the quarterback is here. So everybody else will show up for camp in. I believe you can go. Can you do summer school there, or do they have to show up in August? I don't know how that works.
I believe they can be in summer school and then go through some of the stuff over the summer.
The faster you get here, and the faster you get in. So an exciting time. Always, it's the kind of the spring training, hope springs eternal type deal, and you'll probably start seeing the. When the spring game is and when the plays and how many scrimmages there'll be and all that. But, again, it's the third day of February. Let's not get too deep just yet.
Moving on but staying on the gridiron, the final game, finally, of the entire football season is the Super Bowl every year. It is this Sunday. Again, we'll have pregame starting for you at 2 o'clock here on WGCL kickoff just after 6:30 for Denver and Carolina out in Santa Clara, out in the San Francisco Bay there, home of the San Francisco 49ers. Peyton Manning in possibly his last game going against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers defense, rather, which is two of the best defenses in all of football this year. So it might very well be and probably will be a low-scoring game. Carolina would sure seem to be the team that it looks the most balanced and looks the most made for playoff football with the running game and the quarterback that can make some plays and the defense and all these sorts of things. But they're awfully young. They don't have a lot of experience.
And the guy under center on the other side will be playing in his fourth Super Bowl. The Broncos were here 2 years ago, and I think this gets lost in the storylines, but this team was embarrassed two years ago.
Yes, it was.
Embarrassed from the first offensive snap that went over Peyton Manning's head on a snap count. Nobody was quite sure what it was.
For a safety.
And whoosh, a linebacker who has since been traded or left as a free agent was the MVP in that Super Bowl for Seattle's defense.
That's right.
That once, if you want to know anything about what happened in that game, there you go. The linebacker from USC, I believe, is it Smith? He's on the Raiders now. That's all I know. Malcolm Smith doesn't even play for the Seahawks 2 years later.
Yeah.
Doesn't even play for him.
He's like Larry Brown, the corner for Dallas.
Pick a couple,
way back when.
Go get your free agent.
Throw right
contract.
To him. He's standing out there not guarding anybody.
That's Neil O'Donnell. He's wide open.
Yeah, exactly.
And he runs it all the way back. But that's a thing that I think maybe will be under the craw a little bit because Denver has plenty of guys that went through that, had plenty of guys that were on that team, had plenty of guys that had to answer questions after that game about what happened. Oh my gosh, you got routed. And the Broncos have a way of getting routed in the Super Bowl if you go and do your history. 42-10, 55-10, 43-8.
Took John Elway forever, and there were bad ones.
There have been some ugly ones in there. But Von Miller didn't play in that game. We can be fair. He was injured at the time. I think he did his knee earlier in the season. So that's a piece that, again, if you want to go back to the history and say, well, this Denver defense, they got ran over by Seattle. Well, they didn't have DeMarcus Ware. Then Von Miller didn't play. Yeah. And Aqib Talik wasn't back there. And Chris.
No, that defense was not like this team.
No, it wasn't. That
was a completely different.
That result of that Super Bowl, 43-8, took John Elway by the ears and said, we're going to make our defense look like their defense.
Right.
And that's when they started loading up. It was almost the domino that said, oh, you know, I really like offense. And Peyton's here. We got to get him good players. Hey, they let Julie Thomas go, that big tight end.
That's right.
Why? Put more guys on defense.
Who's done nothing, by the way.
Shh, let him go.
I know.
Manning makes a lot of guys look good.
That's exactly right.
You heard from Pierre Garçon in the last
not recently.
He got paid. Good for him. You get paid. But the point was that was the turning point, the tipping point for Denver's organization where they said, we can give Manning all the offensive weapons he needs.
Yep.
anything you want. But if you don't stop the other team,
and remember the year matter. The year before they got beat at home in the championship game by Baltimore because of a play late that
cornerback fell asleep.
Well, and Baltimore tied it.
75-yard touchdown.
Baltimore went to overtime exactly
because two guys less than got 3 minutes.
So they saw the defense had to be changed, and it has changed. And they've got a defensive unit now that can put pressure on someone. The question will be for that unit: will they be able to put pressure on Cam Newton? That is a team that is physical up front. That is a team that runs the ball up front. They don't have a lot of playmakers out wide, and that will be the question: is can Denver kind of pack it in, be physical enough to get him in passing situations and get some pressure on Cam Newton? Because they've got the pass rushers. There's no question about that.
The issue for the Broncos defense will be simple: is how long are they left out there? If any defense is left out there, and Carolina has 260 yards rushing,
wear down against a physical team, then too, sure,
you're done. But what did New England knew that Manning hasn't thrown it great, and they haven't. But again, what was the time of possession that game? 31-29 Yeah, it was close. Why? And Denver did nothing the second half of that game. Nothing.
Yeah.
So their defense was on the field the entire time against Tom Brady. And Tom Brady in a situation where he has to score points. That's high level. That's not game management to get down and field position and chess play. Brady had to score, Brady had to score, Brady had to score. And the defense, now it was at home, I understand that, in altitude and everything else, but it held up. But I don't think it's a different animal because New England didn't run the ball. And Tom Brady doesn't run the ball.
Right.
And there's not that third dimension. You have the running game, you have the passing attack, and then you have the third dimension, which is Cam Newton, which can do anything you want. 6'5", 260 pounds.
He's huge. I mean, he's bigger than the defensive ends.
Monster. He is similar to Ben Roethlisberger, but he's quicker and faster, obviously. And he's hard to tackle. He's hard to get down in the pocket. And remember, Carolina has run over Seattle and Arizona, two of the hottest teams going into the playoffs. They went down to Carolina and got they didn't get out of the first quarter.
No.
Neither one of those
31
teams.
31-0 at half for
17
Seattle.
17-0 the first quarter.
And Seattle made it interesting in the second half, but it was 49-15 at the end of the day in Arizona.
No, that's not.
There's a couple pick sixes in there,
there
I believe, in there, too.
Turnovers.
But it's still, I mean, they were dominant in both those games.
They were. And Carolina's defense is good in the sense that they have – excellent players in each phase. They've got a great. They got Peppers is still playing for them, right? Is Peppers playing? Who's he playing for now?
He was with
Arizona, right?
With
the Packers?
No, he's with the Packers.
Who's the big defensive lineman for Carolina?
Freeny.
No, he's for Arizona.
No, he's at Arizona.
Who's
for
but
Carolina?
You have Keekly and you have Norman in the back. Who's their front player? It's disruptive. I can't remember.
Well, they got Jared Allen, I believe, now.
And he's hurt. He didn't play, but anyhow. Carolina, what they've done is they've won 17 to 18 games.
Yeah.
And you don't do that by luck. You don't do that by getting fortunate four or five times. You do it by beating people. And when Bruce Arians' offense has a week to get prepared for you, now, I know he wouldn't like Carson Palmer running that offense, but with Carson Palmer, they put up a ton of wins the last 2 years,
yeah.
A ton of them. And they went in there and did absolutely nothing. They got nothing going. They were pressured all day. Again, Palmer didn't throw it very well. They didn't run it very well. They didn't do anything very well. That being said, the week before that, 31-0 with the defending NFC champions,
two times
who were 2 inches away from back-to-back Super Bowls, were beaten senseless. 31-0. You have to be doing plenty of things right. There is no fluke in beating a team like Seattle 31-0.
No.
Offensively, defensively, nothing. There is nothing in that screams fluke. Should be a tasty game, shouldn't it?
Well, we'd hope so.
Shouldn't it?
And then we always know that turnovers will play a big part, or could play a big part.
Safeties.
We'll talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl outlook.
And I'm going to find that defensive line.
When we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes again. Tomorrow night, Thursday night, high school basketball. North at Edgewood starts at 7:30 with Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock. As Edgewood trying to knock off the big guys from Bloomington there. So a big inter-county rivalry tomorrow night on WGCL. And then on Sunday, our Super Bowl coverage starts at 2 o'clock. All the pregame you could possibly hope for on the radio. 2 o'clock starts it off. 6:30 is kickoff for Carolina and Denver from San Francisco, a pair of among the best ranked defenses in football this year. Peyton Manning, of course, the legend, possibly in his final game at quarterback, as Glass mentioned 2 years ago, just getting throttled by Seattle, bringing a lot of the people from that team back with them. Carolina Panthers, young, physical, a former Heisman Trophy winner, Cam Newton at quarterback, do everything Cam Newton. So how does everybody react on this stage? I will say this about Cam Newton. He looks at this moment unbeatable, and he's not, but he looks that way. He's big, he's physical, he's throwing the ball well. The one thing that gets him in trouble is that he is so confident in his arm that he will throw the ball from some really odd spots sometimes. You mentioned Ben Roethlisberger. It's a great comparison. Big physical guys. Ben is not going to run the ball like Cam is. Ben is going to run for space and to get his guys space and throw the ball again. But there are some times where he's leaning back on one foot and he's sidearming a ball over to a place and doing some things like that. That could get him in some trouble in a big game like this. That's the one thing I look for if you look for a weakness, is to get his feet a little odd, get him leaning back and in some odd spots with that, and try to make him put a ball up for grabs. They've got a ton of cornerbacks and defensive backs at a really high quality with Denver.
And Ted Ginn Jr.'s got some speed to burn for the Panthers. Greg Olsen catches everything that's thrown at him. And Cam's confidence, you're right, is through the roof. And the one thing, though, that helps all that is he has no problem making plays with his feet. Yep. He's not a guy that you can trap in the pocket and say, oh, hey.
Got him.
Roethlisberger doesn't run as much. He'll stand there and hold it to the last minute with three guys hanging on him. Cam's gone, and he runs 4 or 5. He's not going to catch him. Mm-hmm. That's the other part. That's why I said offense, defense, and Cam. You got that third part of it, and only one team has cracked the code this year. One time. And the problem with the Broncos will be if they are put in a hole early like Seattle was, like Arizona was, and then the game plan has to shift. When Manning is balanced, how many times have we said this in the last 20 years we've done radio? If Manning is balanced and does not have to sit back there and chuck it 50 times, Denver's going to have a really good chance to win. If Carolina busts out, Cam's confident, they can run any play in the book. The first quarter, again, won't be the most important quarter, but I think the way the game starts, if it's 14-0, they go down and score, and it's a pick, and then they score again. Well, now, all of a sudden, Denver's got some things to worry
about. If there's a hole,
about.
You might see the end of Peyton Manning's career earlier than a lot of people want, and Brock Osweiler back in there, and I don't know a lot of people really want to see that.
I don't think that.
Denver's got to establish something at the line of scrimmage, and they're as good as they are defensively, they're kind of more about, you know what, they did a great job against the run against the Patriots, and they're going to have to continue that somehow against a much better running game, because if you can control the guys that aren't named Cam a little bit up front, you at least got a chance.
But red zone touchdowns, red zone scores, that stuff Carolina just feasts on. Again, holding the field goals, give your offense a chance. That's probably going to be the way. If Denver's defense has to win the game for them, I think Carolina will have a day.
It's hard, yeah.
It's really hard, because I don't think that the way Carolina is balanced, you don't see them getting – why are they going to get uncomfortable? Their defense is good enough. They run it enough. They pass it enough. They don't make a lot of silly turnovers. It looks like a game on paper where you'd say, well, this is going to take a miracle from Denver. But again, the one thing you always leave out when in this analysis, and I think it factors in there somewhere, but there's not a category for it, is the human element. Who is more prepared? Who's not going to let the hype take over the game? Maybe Cam, and I've said this before, and it hasn't shown in two playoff games, it's a lot easier to play quarterback. It's a lot easier to make wide-open three-pointers when you're up 25 points.
Sure.
And Cam Newton has been under – zero pressure. Yeah, none.
Absolutely.
All season
that's
for anything.
That's exactly right.
Home field advantage? Nope. See, I had it in week, 11?
It's done. Yeah. Early.
What, in the late games against Seattle, was just don't turn it over. Let's run the clock down. He wasn't out there picking up the onside kick. He didn't have anything to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, Denver's best hope, is put him in a situation in the fourth quarter where he has to make decisions that aren't as easy as, hey, we're going to just throw it over here. Hey, we're going to run the clock out, because they've shown they can kill you that way.
And let's be fair here, too. This is going to be his first chance
big
at a
deal.
Big game like this. A lot of that team is going to be relatively new at this kind of thing, whereas the Denver team's got a lot more veterans that have been through this sort of thing.
Russell Wilson showed us 2 years ago.
How do they react to it is a big big, big question. The Seattle team you talk about, they walked out there like they didn't care what was going on, no matter what. Does Carolina have that? They sure seem like they've got a little bit of that in them, but it's a big test for Cam Newton.
Same balance as well.
It is a big, big test to see about the mentality of Cam Newton. And there's times in his career when it's been questioned and times in his career when it's been lauded.
Yep.
This is another big example.
But you can throw him out there, and you know what it tells us? Nothing. Kaepernick, great athletic quarterback. Runs. He was the third thing.
Right.
Offense, defense, Kaepernick. And you had a really good 49ers defense. You had Wilson, great decision maker, great runner, great thrower, just like Kaepernick, just like Newton, great defense.
Yep.
And Newton kind of has that to lean back on as well. And Kaepernick got beat at the buzzer at the goal line, threw the ball away. Wilson won one convincingly against Denver, threw one away at the buzzer, and Cam's first one.
Nobody's immune to the pressure of the moment, to the pressure of the big stage.
And I think that's where Denver has their best
angle. To the pressure of just guys flying at your feet if you're a quarterback. I mean, you saw Tom Brady. Tom Brady might very well be the best quarterback of all time, and he looked like an amateur against that Denver defense because they kept getting to him all day long.
But unlike Denver's offense or New England's offensive line, Carolina's healthy.
They are good.
That's a huge difference, because it is not the transitive property. Well, if they beat the Patriots, who are the best team,
right?
Well, the Patriots had you and me playing left tackle and right tackle.
Look, as we know,
it's not easy to do.
What you want to do in these is you want to take the other team out of the game. The question is, which defense can do that? Carolina should be able to do that pretty quickly to Denver. That's the problem for Denver, is that you don't have the best Peyton Manning of all time, and you've got a run game that just hasn't gotten going. If they can get some run game going, that's going to be a humongous help. But can the Denver defense disrupt the physicality up front of the Carolina offense? To me, that's the entire story right there, because if they can do that, then you can get pressure on Cam Newton.
You can, when the team is out of their game plan and is uncomfortable and have to do things they don't want to do. The team that turns the ball over the most won't win the Super Bowl. Almost write it down. Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning, that's the story everybody wants to see, and I like it because the general public's all over Carolina. Denver covers. I will gladly accept the 5.5.
I think Carolina wins. I want Denver to win more than anything, but Carolina will win this one 31-13.
It's not going to be close?
And let's hope that Peyton does win it, because that would be a great story,
Story.
Even for us Colts
fans. I hope somebody
fans.
Wins it, somebody doesn't lose it.
There you go. We got to take off, folks. We'll be back Monday. Remember, high school basketball tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Chalk Talk, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.